It's a very big schuss to be part of this effort to be involved in learning the halachas of kashering. And of course, we wish Rabbi Neuberger a refuah shleima. And I guess he's the official, the pesach on this matter. I'm just going to give my own opinion. I don't know what he says. The behavior will have to mediate. But it's, I guess before Pesach is a great time. What better time can there be to talk about kashering kalim than now? Let's talk about kashering ovens. It's a very serious matter. A little bit of background. There are two ways of kashering. I assume, I don't know what you learned in the first few weeks, so just forgive me if I'm assuming what you don't know, or if I'm repeating what you already do know. Let it go. There are two ways of kashering. There's libun and there is hagala. There is an expression in the Gemara, which is a cardinal principle of kashering kalim, which is kabolo kach polto. As it goes in, that's how it, as it's absorbed, that's how it's removed. And the fundamental question is, does this apply to hagala only? Kibolo kach polto, or does it apply to libun as well? I'm not sure if it's been discussed at all, this issue, and I'm going to give you a few sources about this, which of course is extremely relevant to kashering our ovens. Okay. The sugya of kashering is really an avodah zarah in the last daf. Rashi, in the sefer of avodah zarah at the end, says as follows. The Rashi clearly applies the principle of kibolo kach polto to libun. The Gemara of Odazara, everything is based on the same Gemara, says that the shear of libun ad kama malabnon ashetosher kliposon. So there were those who say ashetosher kliposon literally means you have to be able to peel off a layer, and until you reach that level, there's no way to kash, impossible. However, in the Rashi, get an impression it's not that way. That if kibolo kach polto applies to hagala, should apply to libun as well. What does that mean? The pashas in kibolo kach polto means literally, it doesn't just mean, hey, you could say, well, if it comes in with liquids, goes out with liquids, comes in with heat, goes out with heat. The pashas is more than that. Pashas is that it's to be taken in a literal sense. For example, let's take hagola proper. Kibolo kach polto. So we're machmir to do hagola as a rule in water which is boiling hot. That's it based on the Gemara. So the pashas is because we don't know how hot it was when it came in. So they can't get any hotter than boiling, so that's why we always require boiling. But what if we knew for a fact, absolutely based on science, we have a certain production places, factories, it doesn't go above 200 degrees. So we'd have to kash it with 200 degrees. If you know boiling is 212 degrees. That's the pashtus. So too, if you apply it to libun, if it went in at 500 degrees, it should go out at 500 degrees. So if you hold this way, you can apply the principle of quote kibolo kach polto to libun as well. You can kasher an oven for Pesach and just put it up to the highest. And it goes in at whatever the highest is, 500, 550. The way it goes in at that heat comes out that heat. It's a tshuvas maimon. He talks about it halacha lemaisa. Let's start again. The tshuvas maimon is in Hilchos Macholos Asuras Simen Hay. It says kibolo kach polto applies to the tanur, and this is the tshuva, the name of the Ri, Shema Ri. They asked the Ri, and they asked the Ri's wife, the Amon of the Ri, and they used to do a kind of a kibolo kach polto type of libun, and they attributed to Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir's house, the Rashi's son-in-law. And the whole base Rashi would do this. However, despite that, despite the Rashi and despite the base Rashi, right, base Rashi is on the Rashi of Avodah Zarah, Prima Gadim is the other way around. That's a very famous pshat. Prima Gadim says, no, Kabbalah Kapol is limited to Hagolah, does not apply to Libun. You have to have Tosher Klipasim, or as he puts it, Nitzotzos Nitzin. Even though when you use it for Chametz or for Isser, it was not so hot. I Kabbalah Kapolta. No, 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 no. That's only when it comes to Hagolah. Hagolah, as it goes in, so it comes out. But Libun doesn't come out. Libun simply is sorrowful b'mekomo. It burns it up. So the Tzolt of Nitzin is a Yerushalmi. It's found in Shulchan Aruch as well. Simon Tofnun Aleph Sivdal, the Hilchos Pesach, where the laws of Hagolah are found. And the Yifei Naim in Avodah Zarah says that's exactly the Shir of Tosher Klipasim. Same thing. When sparks fly, what do you mean sparks fly? Who's a scientist here? When sparks fly means something's coming off. Doesn't come out of nowhere. That's what he suggests. I don't know if you've been introduced by Rabbi Haver to the Sefer Hagolas Kalim. That's the Bible. I mean, there's nothing you can add much to what he says. There's so much there. Baruch Hashem, it's a great Sefer. He had a long discussion about this. Is Libun pulled out? Was it the Sorfa B'mkomo? Look, Rashi himself is the Lashon Sorfa B'mkomo. Even though Rashi himself says Kabbalah Kafoto. So therefore, I'm willing to concede that Libun doesn't pull out. It burns it up. Afal Pikein, according to Rashi, the principle of quote Kabbalah Kafoto applies. It doesn't mean literally polto. It's Tashmisho Kachat Shero. So the Prima Gadim asks it. And I thought based upon Rashi, and based Rashi, there's room to be makel. Okay. Sefer Minchas Yitzchok by Diane Weiss, Sifron Levrocha, Kehle Gimel, quoted in Sefer Golas Kalim, wants to be makel based upon his Chuvas Maimini, based on Rashi. This is against the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tofnun Aleph. Because there's a thing called a rachas. So the Shulchan Aruch and Hagolah won't work, you have to buy a new one. A new one. So the Mishnah Berurah there writes that it absorbs some chametz without any mashke. Ululavno ievsha dohoshel 80. I'm going to just imagine flying a torch to something which is wood, there'll be nothing left. Says the Minchas Yitzchok, wait a second. If you have to apply a torch to reach the level of the Tzotzos Nitzin, there'll be nothing left. It's just a matter of Kabbalah Kapolta, or whatever thing is wood. You're cooking, you're baking on it. So if you're baking on it, so obviously it's fireproof and that up to that point. Kasher the same way. So the Minchas Yitzchok himself says, well, you're very in need of, at the very least, what's called a Libun Kal, which is the Shir Shakash Nisraf. And even that's impossible when it comes to wood. That's not so simple. Manashach. Even if it's less than Libun Kal, just say Kabbalah Kapolta. Look at the Beis Yosef right there in Simon Tofnun, and now he writes as follows. Harachas nagu la'agila o liknos chadosha. And there's some who say that if you put in the tanur, kibola kachpolto. So there are those who are makel. Like the Shuvas Maimani. Why are there those who say ein lo takana? Ein lo takana, that's what the Mechaber passes that way. Ein lo takana. Doesn't explain why. Doesn't explain. However, I believe the reason is, as we find in the Gemara in a different context, Chazal are afraid you're not going to do a good job. You're afraid it's going to burn, it's going to catch fire. By Kli Cheres, the Gemara says it's Chashinon, you're going to afraid Shema Paki, you're going to break it, you're not going to do a good job. That's the answer. That's the answer. Ah, what do you mean? You're putting it, you're always baking on it. And you know it doesn't burn up. Well, that could be you put it on for a short while, it's going to be a longer while. you're afraid it's going to catch on fire. Or when you're using it, sure, it gets very hot, it reaches X degrees, but it's also the bread. So the bread has an effect, a cold cooling effect. Bread starts off cold. So if the surface reaches X number of degrees, the bread on top of itself is going to prevent it from burning up, as opposed to when you're kashering, there's nothing there. Maybe. I'm giving a number of suggestions how to explain why it's no good. But nonetheless, it seems to me that the weight of opinion is that we should apply the principle of Kabbalah Kafpolto to Libun, based upon the Rashi and the base Rashi, even though it's against the Prima God. But where did Prima God get it from? Where did he get it from? Got it from a base Yosef. Again, we look it up in Siman Tafnun and Aleph. Kisui shel barzel shel mesimin also al charoro shel nefes al gabi akira. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim quotes the name of the Tosus, Ein tzorech libun ashe tosuk liposo. El mechamemo kemo shel mesimin also al charoro kol ashan akulo. Ki blua meheter. Says the Beis Yosef, Kvaka safti, shedas rova poskim, shein chilek zeklum. Kachli belua mehetik ma belua meyisr. What does that mean? If you've got him understood, that we're talking about a believer of Kibbalah Kachpolta, and the Beis Yosef's conclusion is lechumra, that it doesn't work. However, it seems to me that Rabbeinu Yeruchim wasn't saying that. He didn't mean that. He didn't mean that. If you're going to tell me that Kibbolo Kapolto is the way we explain it, then why is Rabbi Yeruchim telling you a special kulish you must have learned about Rabbi Haver of Hetera Bola, based on Sugin and Masech Tavod as well as that? The Libun Kal is enough for Hetera Bola, based on the Furish and Gemara. Why? So it's not doing Kibbolo Kapolto. They're two different concepts completely. I imagine you understand. For Hetera Bola, in some cases, Bosa V'chola, maybe Chametz before Pesach, different sheet of that. No, before it comes, no sir, that's the sugar kutching over there. That's what, where a quote, where Hagolah will work instead of Levin is about it. The whole idea of Levin Kal is the equivalent of Hagolah. But that's not what Rabbi Yeruchim said. He said Kibbolah Kapolta. I mean, this doesn't do with Hetera Bola. It seems to me that the pshat in Rabbeinu Yeruchim is that you're not going to be able to reach a madrega of Kabbalah Kapolta for technical reasons, and that's why it's no good. The kids and Imritz, if you have Rashi and base Rashi, say that it's good, and the Prima Gadim might have also agreed that it's good, except the other has a base Yosef. To the contrary, if you can refute the Rashi from the base Yosef, I think we can. Then it's even more reason to follow the opinion of Rashi. They say Kabbalah Kapolta and you kasher our ovens. Just by putting it to the highest. When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, SOY put out some kind of a little kuntris about kasher. And they asked me to write something about it. It goes back a long time. And I went to speak to the rabbi about it, because the rabbi had been quoted as saying that Kabbalah Kapolta was reply to an oven to put up to the highest, even though it was against the papers to the rabbi, she was called the Prima Gadim. So I don't want to trust my Shmuas, I went to the rabbi and asked him, is it okay? He said yes. Is it okay for Pesach all the time? He said both. He held that Kabbalah Kapolta applied to our ovens. We'll see soon that the others sniff him in our ovens as well. Before we get to the sniff him, the kula, there's a problem which would be a problem with the chumra. The Shulchan Aruch is the Farish in the first sif, that a hefek mi bachutz is no good. If the fire is on the outside, no good. You have to take your torch and you burn it out on the inside, not from the outside. And our ovens, obviously the heat source, for those who know how our ovens work, it's on the outside. What do you mean the outside? Most typical old-fashioned ovens. You have two cavities, the big cavity and the small cavity. The fire's in the small cavity. You open the big cavity, you don't see any fire. There's a floor. So, I mean, it should be considered as second mibachot, which is no good. True, there's Tzad Lahokel. If you look in the Mogen HaElef, it's printed in the Makor Chaim, those who have that in the Pesach, says that that's only true with respect to Klicheres, not with respect to Matches, because Matches gets hotter. Kederach Tashmisho Kachan Shero, metal gets gets very hot. He quotes it from the Alter Rebbe. The Kagolos Kalim quotes it, and from the Avnei Nezer against the Prima Gadim. True, we just got to say that Cheres is no good. That Cheres is no good, even though it's a question why do we apply Kabbalah Kachpolto? Cheres could be a different svara. But we're talking about metal of the Pashas. Even if you'll say that some of our ovens have a small, thin, little porcelain glaze, if you will, which may be so, that's too insignificant to my mind to make a difference. And again, it's kind of the same for Hagolas Kalim, who quotes this Yisod. But the biggest cooler for our ovens is that what we're trying, the surface we're trying to kasher is not, as a rule, the surface that touches chametz or touches treif. That's the biggest cool. Shuvas Maimdi that we learned earlier says one of the snifim lahakal was that the surface that was being kashered never came into actual contact with the, in that case, fleshiks or melachiks, in our case, chametz, in other case, the surim, but only it came into it through what we'll call zeil. With respect to zeil, we can rely upon Kabbalah Kapoto. It's a Mishnah Brewer. It's a Cotton Gimel. It's a Tuf Samach Aleph. Not Tuf Nanav, Tuf Samach Aleph. He says, the Chometz HaNiv LeBegago V'Kiroz of Shalatanur will be Niflat through the Shalheves that when you're going to use it to make the matzahs. Even though Shulchan Aruch himself there in Sif Aleph writes, you require Gecholim Al Pnei Kol Karki Iso. The answer is, you want to kasher the floor. There was actual chametz on the floor. They could put matzah on the floor. They used to bake matzah in their own house on the oven. That you have to have molig cholim, no shortcuts shabolim. The only problem is, you're not going to put anything on the floor of the oven on Pesach. It's a question of the zeah going in all around. For that, there's no need for gecholim all over. That's what Rav Henkins, that Salas quoted in the Sefer HaGolas Kalim, that was the meaning in Europe. That was the meaning in Europe. There are those, by the way, and we shouldn't ignore this opinion, and I believe Rav Shech the Shalita holds this way as well, and even though Zeya will allow for food taste to go from the pot or pan into the top of the oven, but it won't come down when you cook the next item. I think I'm quoting correctly, if I'm not mistaken. So Machlokas in the Gedolei HaPoskim, Dalkei Tshuva talks about it in Yoredeya, Siman Tzadi Beis, Kuf Samachay. The Shulchan Aruch there says that if you have Zeya from milk, will asa the meat part on top of it. That yes, but it won't necessarily come back down again and asa what's underneath. That being the case, the chlali wouldn't have to kasher our ovens. Wouldn't be a problem. Ramoshes, machmer, Ramoshes, you should kasher our ovens. There wouldn't be a need for two ovens and milchus and fleshes with the chlal. Ramoshes, machmer, have two ovens and milchus and fleshes. But even Ramosha, who's machmer, is another critical point. It's only a machmer if there is zeya. Presumably there's going to be zeya whenever it's something which is liquid. That's where the source of zeya comes from. It's a mishnayas and machshirin. Shechta Shalita said that's only hevel, very, very thick, mamash, it's white stuff, you can't even see through it, which you know we hardly ever have by us, it's only called Zeya. But even if there would be machmer by regular Zeya, it's only Zeya from Mashkin. As a general rule, Zeya's Ochlin doesn't count, Ramosh is mekel by Zeya's Ochlin, as a rule. The Pisket Shuvah in Yoredeya is mekel. Unless you know for a fact that there would be Vadai Zeya, then Ramosh wants to be machmer against the Pisket Shuvah, because the Prima Gadol is Mesupik. Once again, the Prima Gadim is the one who's machmer in Yidinyan. Where did the Prima Gadim get it from? It's right over here in Siman Tovtman Aleph. The Magen Avraham quotes the Tur by the Kisi of the Barzal al Harora. We spoke about that earlier. So this is the lashon of the Magen Avraham in the Tur. Quote: Yesh Omrim Shafilu Hagola Eino Tzarech Kevan Sheino Osui Al Lechasos Vein Acharora No Gazbo. That sounds great. It doesn't touch it. And there's no Zeas Ochlim, right? That's great. Well, V'nira li shetzarech libun. Ki v'rov pamim no gazbo. That's also unexceptional. Of course, pashut. They touch it. But then he had the line. That's the critical line. V'od. Shu mezia mehevo l'charora shetachtov. So the Prima Gadam understood that v'od. You see from here that Zeas Ochlin is considered to be very chum and requires libun. However, I'm not so convinced. The second, the Ode, only comes to exclude the original Yesh Omrim that says you don't even need Haggalah. I feel Haggalah ain't Tzarech. So the second, the Ode, says you require Haggalah, that you do require, but you wouldn't require libun. So the Kitzer, if we don't know for sure that the Zeas Ochlin, we have a right to be made called Rav Moshe, there's no Bli in the first place. If there was Zeas Ochlin, then you have three opinions. It's nothing. It's inconsequential. It's totally halacha. But you wouldn't require even a Haggalah. Or you require a Haggalah, or you require a Libun. Seems to me that the third sheet that they require a Libun, which is how the Prima Gadim understood the Magen Avraham, is, again, not so simple that it's true. It's through a Mekilin for sure, so you don't need anything, or it's enough to have a Haggalah. The pashas out suffice. So what I tell people, lemaisa, whenever you're kashering an oven, do one of two things. Either have a self-cleaning oven. So the self-cleaning oven reaches 900 degrees, and Rav Moshe is quoted in Hagolas Kedem as saying 700 degrees is already considered to be libun chamer. That's the best answer. There is a problem with the self-clean. It's even true of regular kashering, that the part of the door is treated in a particular way. The door, because it only burns somebody on the outside, it doesn't get as hot as the rest of the other sides of the oven. So it is a slight problem. I think Rabbi Ida talks about it in one of his forum. But the minhag is to be mekel. Of course, if you're old Kabbalah kach poltz, there's no problem. If you deny Kabbalah kach poltz, you have a slight problem with the door, and not exactly sure how to get out of it, but it's only on the side, it's not going to come out, whatever. That's one way. If a regular oven, which is not self-clean, what I tell people is as follows: whatever is removable, you should try to put it in someone else's self-cleaning oven. You're not zeichet to one yet. So you must have a neighbor, a friend, a relative who has one. So whatever moves, put it inside. What moves? Well, first of all, although we're not discussing it right now, the burners, on which the pots on top of the stove top. So the best thing, of course, to do is to replace it with a Pesach. Oh, it's expensive. It's not so expensive. Remember, whenever you make an expensive Pesach, again, I'm not telling you're renting for a year. But if you find yourself in a place where you've spent Mitzvah Shem many years, divide it over many, many years of Pesach. You know, we moved into our present apartment. We've been there many years. We bought four new burners for Pesach. It costs us a nickel a day already, you know, if you add up all how much it costs over. I said, come on, it's not so much money. But besides that, if you're going to cash your Kabbalah Kapoto, the best thing to do, if you can, is to remove the floor of the oven. The floor of the oven in most ovens is removable. This comes right out. I'm talking about this newfangled stuff, but the old style ovens that you all grew up with, they have the broiler on the bottom, you know, with a small cavity, and then the big one on top. The floor will often come out. If it comes out, you can take it and put it into a self-clean. It may come out a different color, but everyone's not going to destroy it. It's made to be to touch 550. So what's 900? Not quite twice as much. So if you try and it doesn't work, come back, and then we'll talk about it to the next group. It shouldn't do it. But I've told people to do it, and it works. Speaking of replacing things which cost a little bit of money, they have now new ovens which have glass tops. I've been asked many times about these new ovens, glass tops. My response is, buy a new glass top for Pesach. I told it to a Talmud, I said, what? How can you do it? I said, just try it. So he called up GE, or it was, and sure enough, I think it cost him $200. He was able to buy a new glass top. I said, but how about the installation? So the woman who spoke to me says, whose husband is my top. My husband was not so handy, was able with a couple of screwdrivers to take out the old one, put in the new one. So you'll say it costs $200, a lot of money. Yeah, but you get the chef, people live a long life, and they spend Pesach every year in their house. So you add it up, so it costs you a quarter a day for Pesach. I mean, what is it coming out to? But, you know, just spread it out. It's, yes?
Do I heard the Rav said in non-self-cleaning oven, you could just turn it up and that's without all the removing parts. Is that true?
That's what I said before. That's what the Rav said. The Rav told me you can do it just turn to the highest. However, you want to try to be machmir. The Rav wasn't living with it. I don't think even worse off cleaning ovens in those days. You want to chatchil to be machmir, you should remove the floor. Another chum, which Rav Moshe suggests, is an insert. An insert is a box. If you're basically cooking in a box in the oven, of course, the chesaron of the insert cuts out the size of the oven. The insert can't fit exactly into the oven. It's going to be a smaller box, and it'll be a little bit more difficult to bake. Yes?
According to the sheet you spoke from the Rav, that you just turned off the highest and leave it on, is there a time limit?
Very good question. Excellent question. How long must it be? How must it be left on? The answer is presumably has to be left on till it gets as hot as it ever got in the past. Now that's exactly not so easy to figure out. I think in the Baltimore VAR they said 45 minutes. I'm not sure where they got there. That's done by experimentation. No, it's a thermostat. After a while, it reaches its maximum. It's just going to stay. You'll leave it at 25. Not going to get any hotter. The room may get hotter, but the oven's not going to get any hotter. So some say 45 minutes, some say half an hour, some say an hour. I can't give you an exact amount. It may depend upon the oven that you're using. You can't say for sure what the right amount of time is. Yes, I'm sorry.
With regard to the oven, is it more? Is it the point that the oven should get hotter than it ever got in the course of the year?
As hot. Or
is the point that it should be legal chamur? Because if it's number one, that it should get hotter than it ever got. What if you're careful never to put it on broil, always to keep it on set for 440 or 450, and then when you want to clean it, it's not self-cleaning, so that then you go to broil, so it reaches 500.
Even better. Even better. Yeah. Rav Henkin said that the minhag in Europe was that although the Shulchan Aruch requires molei gecholim, that's only for the floor of the oven. Where you bake bread, I'm going to bake matzah. That requires a chomer shebechomer shebechomer. But you wouldn't try to somehow find a way out to put the gecholim around the entire oven. Because it never touched the actual bread. That's where my chumrah came from. The floor, in case somehow you're going to put something on the floor, you better put it to a self-cleaning oven.
Okay.
We don't put things on the floor as a rule.
So therefore the floor
would be,
which
would require a while. But I'm saying, this is what the rabbi so meant also. How are you going to put kosher the place of food on the floor of the oven? It's almost unheard of. So therefore, it's a chumrah. If you have an easy availability to a self-clean, that's something which is kedat. I want to say one thing before I forget. This is Chamiras Akanta Me'isura. I am an opponent of blow-torching your oven. The Moshe writes in a show, you have to blow-torch your oven, and he tells you, you have to have, I think, 7 seconds in every square inch or something. 7 minutes? What do you mean? And whatever he said, I'm telling you that I know someone, Nebuch, who died kashering over the blow-torch on their face. I can't accept it. In my opinion, it's just bikuach nefesh. You want to have it done? Call professionals. Say, okay, call professionals. And then I'm not opposed to it. But afterwards, they're a good job. They have a much bigger blowtorch. It's like a flamethrower. You know, so that's a different story. But then I guess they know what they're doing. And hopefully they've been trained properly. Most of the professionals work for the kashrus organizations, the OU and others. They know what the requirements are. But please don't do it yourself. I'm sorry.
In a hanging scenario, he was relying on the fact that he put the column on the floor, so that would reach a temperature of leaving the column for the roof. Is that what he was coming from? Because there is a day.
Right. Either those gecholim themselves would create a leaving column for the roof, or there would be some other method of doing that. Either column, maybe requires the bolakan popa. I don't know which one he requires.
Then they need enough.
Right. I don't know. Usually, I assume Kabbalah Kapoto is more than leaving Kal. Usually. Although conceivably, it could be less. Yeah. So Rav Moshe says in his tshuva, if you want to have one oven for milchus and fleishiks, so you should cover, at least the liquids you should cover. Because the liquids are the ones that generate the zeya. And in my opinion, liquid means things which pour like water. pour like water, that creates a lot of steam. However, if it doesn't pour like water, even if it pours like batter of sponge cake, not that much steam. I want to make a comp. Yeah, sorry.
Well, where's the marker? There's another thing I remember that a Liban Chamer could be if a clash is Nisraf on the other side.
Right.
Where's the marker?
Very good. Where's that come from? It's a Tosis in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. If the fire is so great that the Yad Seles Mibachutz, then it's considered to be the equivalent of Hagola. And the way to check it out is by the Sinas Kash. We'll put up the Kash as Nisraf, then you know that it's gotten hot. It's no worse than Hagola. So you get the impression from the Tosis in the Mordechai and Avodah Zarah. But the real shear is that's a letter of books. That's what really. But the way to check it is by kash. You can put your hand in and it burns. But the way to check it out is with the kash nisraf. That's how I understood it. That's what the Rebbe seems to say. It's really that's a letter well enough. The nagul lahachmer bekash nisraf. Primogodim says no. Again, I keep running into the Primogodim. And the Tuf Nun Beis, he says they're two separate dinim. If it's bala be'isur be'kli rishon ala esh. So then you require Liban Kal Kakash Nisra. If it came into Irui or the Shalishan Aliesh, then it's enough. Then it's for there, it's enough to have Mayim Shayat Soletis Bolahak. That's another very, no one knows this kulum. I'll tell you not a secret. The Mishnah Brewer writes there in Tofnun Beis of Kodm Ches, a Chidish Niflo, that whenever the Blias liquid comes to either Irui, it's enough to have Yad Soledes Bo. It's Bechlal good to know. Let me just jump ahead. I want to say two things before. I'm going to run out of time, but I want to say, two things before I come right back to this. Number one, microwaves. Microwaves are better and worse than regular ovens. They're better because my experimentation has shown that in the normal microwave use, the roof or the walls don't reach Yad Soledes Bo. What I found. Remember, there's no fire. It's only coming from the heat of the food, which is heating up through the microwave process. So if it's not yet, so let us go. In my opinion, as long as the roof and the walls are not yet, so let us go, even though the food or the steam is yet, so let us go, there can be no blia. I had an argument about this with Rav Bleich Shlita, going back now more than 25 years ago. We had this dispute. I haven't changed my mind. It probably hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his mind either. In other words, you require Yatza Letters Bow for Blia. What Yatza Letters Bow? If there's food, which is Yatza Letters Bow, but the surface never reached Yatza Letters Bow. So, in my opinion, nothing happened. Yeah. If you don't reach Yatza, nothing's absorbed. And he held differently. Yeah. That's a different story. I was discussing the Zaya. I'm not discussing splatter as a different problem. But hold on one second. But on the other hand, the microwave is worse because it generates steam. Everything generates steam. Though. You know the little science of microwaves. The whole world of microwaves, it works on whatever liquids there are in the piece of chicken and generates much more steam. So, but it seems that one cancels the other, more or less. The splattering, of course, is certainly an issue, which that depends on how you use it. I can't speak to that. I tell people always cover your food in the microwave. That's what the instructions say. Open up, get a microwave. Open up the book. It'll say cover the food. They're not worried about kosher. They're worried about the cleanliness or whatever they're worried about. That's the way to do it. My opinion, however, is not the kosher microwaves for Pesach, because generally speaking, microwaves are made from plastic. And much as a chumra, we don't kosher plastic for Pesach. My second point is, you can't use it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I mean, it's a 5 out of 8 days, you can't use it anywhere. So, you know, let it be a zeichel, the Mitzrayim, the 3 days of Chol HaMoed, that you won't be able to live with a microwave, you know. I mean, most of us remember back when they didn't have microwaves. So, or maybe at least your parents remember that far back. So, I mean, I don't think it was Kedai to kosher a microwave space.
What about putting a cup of water in there and waiting until it boils?
That's how we kosher microwaves, generally speaking. But nonetheless, I wouldn't, for Pesach, it seems to me, It's mostly made from plastic anyway. One should try to stay away from the gethering. That's if you're going to a ski lodge or something like that. You're going to a hotel and they provide you with a microwave. So what's it in? So if it's completely clean, I held that me'ikar adin, it should require nothing, but I would never rely on that lemaisa.
I'll pay a platter because you weren't.
You wouldn't know what happened before. Right. So what I tell people to do is, if you cover it, you can't make an airtight, it looks. But if you just cover it with a couple of layers of, even of, toweling paper, or some kind of a plastic wrap, not leave room on the sides for it to go out, then cover it on the bottom too. I think it's okay,
Mika.
I would do that first. First, I come into this hotel. I would cash it with the water, with a cup of water, right? So it's got steamy. And that may even cash it, perhaps. During the year, we don't require it. We'll make on the plastic. What? How many minutes? Till the water boils out. I don't know how long it's going
to
take. I'm not sure it's going to work. You try to use it on a steam. When you go outside the home, and you're going to use someone else's microwave, who knows what, and try to put in whatever you can do. What can you do? The only thing you can do is kasher it with this bowl of water and cover it. That's all you can do. Or if you don't want to use it at all, that's not done. It's cold. That's a good question. Is it Ben Yomo? It could be Ben Yomo. I'll tell someone was just there within the last 24 hours. It's a possibility. We apply Stam Kalen and Ibn Ayoma to a hotel room? Could be. Many people don't eat in their hotel. They don't cook. They go out to eat in their fancy restaurants. They're on vacation. Go downstairs to the bar. And they're not interested in it. It's just a convenience.
But a microwave at home that became tray, whatever, uses for the wrong and uncovered.
A microwave became tray, it can't happen really. Tray, if it's the bus of Bechol, I don't know, we don't have to tray food into our house. It's the bus of Bechol vision. So that's why we have a lot of coolers to rely upon. If you thought it was somehow quote became trade, quote, I don't think it's really became trade, then you can use that for the water.
Okay, you had let's say it was nothing, and then you used the replacement, and you saw that all the pasta, chicken, and liquid moved down before.
Well, that's a good question. Some floors, depends what the floor, some floors are made of glass. Glass going to some parts of them is not.
Glass
is beneath the glass. What's it made from? Plastic. Well, so if you really think it became really trash, the poor boiling water, is that going to ruin the microwave? Find out. Let me know. Yeah.
Is the wall effect cold? Is that based on, let's say, a maklokus or cliché? You consider it like a cliché, so the maklokus, whether it's monoflip or
No, my point of microwave is not new klisheni. Is that even if klisheni has to be outside Lettersville, if it's not outside Lettersville, then we assume there's no blier, even in klisheni, certainly in klisheni. Okay. Let me jump ahead because I may not get to it, and I really have to talk about this. There's sinks on Pesach. How do you kasher a sink on Pesach? So if the sink is made from porcelain, you can't do it. You can't kasher a sink on Pesach that's made from porcelain. So what do you do? Well, when I grew up, they used to cover the sink with contact paper. Cover it. Cover it. Wash that very well and cover it with tin foil. Okay. And then they would use racks. Don't put it directly on the floor. That's how I grew up. However, now, many more sinks than earlier are made from stainless steel. Stainless steel is metal, and it can be kosher. How can it be kosher? Kabbalah, kapolto. But how does the stainless steel sink become tray? We just learned if it comes tray through iwi mikli rishon, the Mishnah Berurah passes is enough to kasher it with water which is yatzal Lettersville. You don't need 212 degree water. That's a cooler from the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, in theory, it would be enough to kasher the sink. Just take the hot water, the boiling, make sure it's, unless it varies in time, we have very, very hot water from the sink itself, and just pour it on. I had to get to the side, take it with the spritzer, go, in theory, that would be enough, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that if it only became trave through Iwi, Mikli Rishon, which is, well, that's the only way it could possibly become trave in our sinks, So naftav yatzal then as well. Nonetheless, despite that Mishnah Berurah, I think it's preferred that we try to kasher our sinks with an irui of boiling water, if possible, as opposed to just yatzal lettuce with water. How do you do that? You can't get boiling water out of your sink. So, be traditional. Take out a couple of big pots, keep the sink dormant from hot water for 24 hours, take a bunch of big pots, and pour the big pots all along the floor, if they boil totally, pour along the floor of the sink. That's only the floor, then what do you do? So what I do is as follows. Before I start pouring, I turn the drain, so it keeps the water in. So I take the first pot and pour it all over the floor of the sink. Mom is boiling water coming straight out of the boiling pot full of water. And then I take the second pot and I try to pour over the along the sides. After I'm ready, afraid to go. Afraid to get hurt. So it's boiling water. Boiling, mom is boiling water, which has been poured and which is filling up a majority of the whole sink. But what about the top third? Top third also has to be kasher. So for the top third, I just take the hot water from the sink itself, and I fill up the top third. The combination of the two-thirds boiling water and the one-third of the sink water is still, after you finish, it's still mala resicha. It's still steam coming out of the sum total of it. And this way you can be mitzamtzem. As soon as it hits the very tippity top, turn it off. Otherwise, I'm afraid you get hurt. I don't want anyone to get hurt. Especially if you go dinner, it's enough to have the lettuce for in any event. The pashtus. Yeah.
Good points. And Bishop, we discussed that the Moshe is not going to get the letters for the Chol on 160.
Yeah.
And things do not get the 160, as far as I know. It would be too hot for the running out of the grand. Even a hot, even though people can have a hot, but maybe 140 is an action. I think even that's already.
Okay, so there, I stand corrected. The original plan of just spritzing will not work under Rav Moshe's version of Yatzal Erez. Okay.
Are we mocking for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, the poskim bring up the issue of maybe needing to call for sinks, and maybe even you is not going to work with this well because of the double bush. Of course, you might throw in our common sink of Canadian occasionally, and the sink, of course, is Niyot Tashmish, but we're not here for Niyot Tashmish, so we're not going to provide that effect for it.
Okay, so if you adopt my system, it works anyway.
But if you need it, if you worry about a double bush, that's called three regions. So then you got to pass your three regions on WRH. So you don't have to worry about that. Because I've seen certain farms insist that you have an Israeli pinjan.
Ooh.
Whatever, where you plug it in, it's an urn that has a long plug that you could pour while it's still plugged in. So it's better than just.
Human being based on our shirim and if a shabbat, that's also just eerie. Right? The pashtus.
Okay, you want to get an industrial immerser, so you don't.
Industrial immerser. And what's that going to do? That's going to heat up, that's going to be cremation.
You don't have to worry.
I never thought of that. I did a double gush. I guess you're right. If you're looking for chumrus, maybe you should do it.
Take a line here, Tashmish.
Me a tashmish, maybe not even any tashmish. No, A, rov poskim say davar gush, mikra din is not a problem. B, rov tashmish, and C, who said it's a davar gush of chametz, which was so hot, hit the bar. I'm trying to think of my own. When does this happen, davar gush? A hot knedel? Who has knedel during the week? Who has spaghetti? A little piece of spaghetti, that's not a davar gush. It's a chaticha, it's a royal letter of the sofa chom. I think a piece of spaghetti is included in the double gush.
Is it fair to say we were discussing this in previous chaburis that since the mechaber and the ramah wasn't able to kasher even a benyom on the four days after lying and not done after a tera, such and bait, and the series of mechaber and ramah, that bidiyevit, if you blew it, then you put it in our comments, and now it's coming to a tera, that says you could still kasher
the yes, but the hikar at the end, you can do it, but there are many parts of the machmana shalos, I'll tell. Just turn off, just cover the hot water for 24 hours or some, turn off the, and remember, don't pour in the noodles when you're draining them out. That's going to ruin it from the outside. Yes?
So then, let's take plastic issue aside, but the countertop, there is more likely that you're definitely going to put a double gush. If the hot fresh call out of the oven, you put it down on the counter, and there you'll have double gush, even though it is near Tashmish. So by countertop, it'll be able to get from your ghost and should also well.
The tops, people put a hot chametz directly on it. I didn't realize that. I don't remember doing it myself. matzah is so handy in the kitchen. I think when people take things out of the oven, they're usually coming out on surfaces which separate between the certainly a near tashmish, or maybe no tashmish at all. Okay. Inserts, I'm told, are problematic. I never used one. They told me that it can make things worse. There's going to be water trapped in the insert in the sink, and it's going to get up and come out. I don't know if these sink inserts are really that good. I've heard different opinions about it. I don't know. Okay. It's important when you're kashering kelim for Pesach in general with Hagolah, that you have to have the water to be boiling all the time. People don't realize this. They kasher, they put boiling water, of course. They start throwing in some silverware, some bechers to be kashered, and they're, by definition, because they're cold, they lower the temperature of the water significantly. See it boiling. See it boiling. Small bubbles enough. The truth is, if you look careful, in the original Rishonim, except for the Ogur is an exception, they never use the word avabuos at all. Use lashon resicha, mali resicha. That's what they say. Could be resicha just means steam, and steam is before bubbles. So I think at the mikir adin, it's probably enough to have steam. The chatzilah should be bubbling. Dishwasher, a very good question. When we bought a dishwasher, we bought one from stainless steel. Because our merchant of Chuvik and Kashrut for Pesach. We've never done it. Chicken. First of all, even stainless steel, there are a lot of plastic parts there. You know, I don't want to make chumas of people, but Pesach, you know, mashu, I don't know what. I'm afraid. There's also a trap underneath, which can trap certain things. Again, Rav Moshe is a chuvik, you can catch a stainless steel face, and we bought one for that with that intention, we never did it.
Only 3 days anyway.
Exactly, the same kind of as far as before. You can't use it for most of the days of Pesach anyway. So live without it, it'll be a part of the zecher, the microwave, and the dishwasher, all the convenience you're used to. Survive without it for 3 days. So the like tomorrow, you know, that'll be the remembrance of what used to have. I wouldn't be afraid to do it.
Shari
Surim, if it's a stainless steel dishwasher, I think you can certainly kasher. Just be very careful to get everything under that trap. You can leave mamash kasher lying in the
bottom.
How do you kasher a dishwasher? I thought again, kibbolah kafoto. You put it onto the highest, put it on twice, just to make sure that it gets clean, and then that's all. That's what I thought. Even it's made from plastic, as I said to you before, for shari serum, remotions make it on plastic.
Enamel
is cheres. Can't cash the cheres. But you cash it with the liba. That's only with respect to the chumrah that they say that the cheres, you can cash a cheres if it's mamash, very, very hot. But the idea of hesed mibuchutz, the cheres doesn't conduct heat so well as matechas. That's part of the pashas in that distinction of the poskim. So with respect to our oven walls are conducting heat very, very well, despite a little bit of a mashu of cheres on the inside. So therefore I thought that wouldn't make a difference. However, with respect to enamel or porcelain sinks or dishwasher, I think that we have to be machmir, you can't kasher it. At all. Rav Moshe, the truth, if I'm not mistaken, if you wait a year, you can be makel to kasher a porcelain dishwasher. That's what I believe. I'm not mistaken, the children of Rav Moshe. And that's what people do if they go into an apartment house or even a regular house and there's a beautiful dishwasher, but it's chaval to have to throw it out and spend money on a new one. But now it's made from porcelain. So you wait a year. Now there are some other sniffing with dishwasher. I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you. dishwashers, there were those who maintained, although it's not print, that you bechlal, there's no problem with the kashrut at all. Use the way it is. Why? Yeah. Tom Parker was one thing. Soap. Everyone uses soap whenever they're using a dishwasher. Number two.
It makes a pogum.
Pogum ekara. Number two. It's Eina Ben Yomo. We're machmir Eina Ben Yomo Otu Ben Yomo. That's true. That may only be a chumra in the pots and pans that we're using to eat from. There's only Eina Ben Yomo on the dishwasher. Maybe they never made a chumra of Eina Ben Yomo in such an instance. And number three, we spoke about this at the Shabbos here a little bit. How'd the walls get trafe? That the hot water came from the jet and banged into the plate, which has trafe on it, and then it banged afterwards into the walls. We saw with that. That's not so posh. That's an Irish and Nischal, and it's maybe in some cases Nifsak. That completely clear out of it became trafe in the first place. I'm not telling you to use it, to rely upon this and use it as is. But there you should know there are some poskim who would see if all these three considerations are mekel. So at the very least, if you added the idea of the year, which itself is a little bit of a shvacha kula, that would be enough to tip it in favor of using it after the year is up. I want to tell you though that we should not use this 1 year heter as b'shofi. People ask me all the time, can I want to buy used china. What? Well, it's on eBay. It's very cheap. I want to buy used china. It says used china. It's used for trade. Yeah, but it's something about a year. I don't know about this year. I've been using 10 years. You know, that's for the Eved. You have it ready. It's the brush is Bali Tshuva. They're going to replace their whole kitchen. And then they haven't used it in a year. Okay. But they go out and buy it because it's a bargain. So don't buy it. You'll be even richer. You'll use it. Yeah.
2 points about enamel for the Mishnah Brura, speaking about the Gishmelt, I think is enamel. So he quotes and also that Bell Scale said, quotes all the black spots and all the colleagues. So the enamel was a big problem, both from whether you can do a goal, you can't do a goal, or you can do all the design. Some of Mahriya, that's a case of we should not cast your enamel, and by Shari Surim, that you can. So Rebbe is assuming that we should not rely on that.
By itself, it's hard to rely upon. It's you.
And also, suggestion has been floated that maybe we should be able to cash a china with self-cleaning ovens because it gets up to 900 degrees.
What happens when it comes out?
As long as you don't stack them up, so then they don't get ruined. And the shash of the Chayes Nomataki, so suggested that since there's a lock,
right,
that you can't take it out.
Sounds good. I thought it might crack, but.
Won't crack, and you shouldn't need
that
any self
nicotine
or something like that.
Well, self is the best way. I thought so. Make her a din. Remember, they're also klisheni, these things. We're not talking about pots from Cheres. Let's not forget, klisheni is is another major sniflog. Now, is another sugi, as you know, that ideally for Pesach you should buy new. Kashering is, when you have to kasher. That's why I spoke about primarily things that you can't buy new. By bringing a new oven and a new sink and Pesach. That's what we focus most of our attention on. But people want to start kashering their various utensils, etc., etc. Multi-millionaires are coming in there to kasher their flatware, their bechers. I don't understand this, frankly. The Gemara says it's preferred to have new things. Because after all, the kashering is itself, not the most perfect thing to do. So I tell people, you should try it. Not so expensive. To have separate dishes and separate flatware and separate bechers and separate everything. In my house, traditionally, we don't kasher anything for Pesach. All that we do, we only have the things we have to deal with. We put away the microwave, we put away the dishes. We only have to deal with a total of two things. That is the oven and the sink. I described to you a little bit how to do it. Otherwise, I'm telling you, we don't do anything.
Right, even the title.
You're right. You're completely right. But, with all the bar mitzvahs, we have so many curses around. And since we have special yodotika curses, You're right. You want to cash a bechas, you can really use it. You don't have to cash in the first place. But you don't have to cash in the first place, you can certainly cash it. But something that you really have to kasha mikvah in, I would say it's not so expensive to get new ones. We live in a land of affluence. I don't see why we have to put ourselves into difficult situations. But I covered what I wanted to cover on top. Was there anything I was supposed to?
There was an issue that came up that in terms of after all the nights that it's not safe for children in Kiske Tshuva, but they pull up the frying pans, which by Shari Surim will require leaving if you didn't use a lot of oil. That's not so right. It's Aina Ben Yom on Milchix, and then you use the Fleshik, but that's not called the Surabola, because you wouldn't say the Yidra Bola, it's called the Surabola, you'd say it's just an Isser Ishtanshu, you can't use it from Yidra Bola. So he's making it to our goal in that case. He's so against the Yidra Bola. So this one in the Nisa. But that's always the shadow of the onion, and I think of the nature. A lot of times it's an Aina Ben Yom on the onion. Can you rely on that?
Remember, there were those who hold the Bechlal HaGol room to frying pan. Bechlal. Seems to be, have an extra sniff in the room to be making. Thank you very much.